I mean it, Mel. Join me and set the world on fire, and I won't take your title, no matter how much I once wished to. I wish for less fighting and more of this. I grabbed her face with one hand and her breast with the other.
You are using sex to cloud my judgment, Callahan.
I'm simply showing you another way, because I'm tired of being at war with an opponent I can't kill. I whispered to her. You stand at my side, and I stand at yours, and together we rule the East and the West so much that they'll rename cities after us.
The Valero?
She bit her lip as I pinched her nipples. Leaning forward, I took one of them into my mouth and pulled her close to me. We put a bullet in each one of their heads, and then fuck in their beds. I replied as she pushed me onto my back and grabbed hold of my cock. I felt it jump alive in her hands. She bent down and licked the tip of it.
Are you lying to me, Callahan?
Before I could reply, she took me in her mouth and I moaned incoherently, words I wasn't even sure were English. I could barely even think straight. Her mouth was that heavenly. Forget Natasha and any of the other bitches I had been with. Had I known this was what waited for me, I would have come here long ago.
Well, Callahan?
She ran her teeth along my length and I shivered. Fuck no, Mel, I'm not fucking lying. My hands went to her hair.
You and I work as one.
She asked me before sucking down harder, making me almost come in her mouth. My head went back and I tried to hide how blissful this felt. Jesus, yes, fuck, yes, you and me, no one else. We will, fuck, baby, oh, yes, we'll rule as one.
Even now, as I'm sucking your cock, you will see me as an equal.
She used her hands when she spoke, before her magical mouth enveloped me once more.
What was her question?
Yes, fuck yes, even as you fucking suck me off, I still won't see you below me. Just as when you won't when I'm eating you out. I moaned, thrusting into her mouth. She took it, and my hands went to the sides of her head as I fucked her mouth like I fucked her pussy, hard and fast. When I came, she sucked it all down her throat and wiped her mouth.
Well, I guess I can handle that. But you fuck me over, Callahan. I will kill you.
Let's get dressed and get this marriage over with so I can fuck you with a ring on both our fingers. She rose before me and lifted her torn top, groaning.
You are such an ass.
I would say sorry, but I wouldn't mean it, I said, rising from the bed as well. We stood there, staring at each other. Both naked and both desperately in need of each other.
One last fuck before we get married?
That look in her eyes made me shiver. All I could do was smirk before pushing her against the wall. You and I, what a pair we make. I said, spreading her legs once again, and one of the many more times that would happen in the future, I hoped.
You and I against the world, then?
She asked me as I pushed inside her. With this fuck, we start a new chapter in our life, I hissed as I slammed into her. May we forever be rulers. May our enemies tremble at our fate. May we never forget our great love that is the family, which we will rule with an iron fist.
May we be ruthless and have no regrets,
she added, gripping onto my back.
May we take what we want, when we want it, with the world at our feet.
I smiled as I fucked her against the wall. We moved in sync. It was like our bodies were also agreeing to our package of glory, death and blood. Mrs. Callahan, we shall have the world soon, I said, never wanting to stop my hunt to go deeper within her. The tides were changing, and we must adapt to survive during drastic changes. And Mel was that drastic change. What we had was much bigger than the two of us, but as she moaned out my name, I couldn't be more grateful. She would help me fill the sky with the Valero blood. Once we did, we would rule. The thought added to the pleasure. It was the best fuck of my life.
I love the old way best, the simple way of poison, where we too are strong as men. Euripides. Melody.
After hours of rescue missions and millions of prayers, we have yet to find any survivors of Flight 735. Our hearts go out to all the families affected by this great tragedy, which was caused by a simple and unpredictable engine failure. The Callahan family has created a charity in honor of the victims and has already donated $15 million on behalf of Melody and Liam, who, as we know, are getting married this evening. Their wedding has been the talk of the town since we broke the story to you only 3 days ago. Apparently, the couple had been seeing each other in secret for quite some time now. The rumors of who are to attend this wedding range from U.S. senators to the very top of the A-list.
Ma'am, would you like me to turn it off? Adriana asked as she fixed my hair. Taking a sip of wine, I shook my head at her before looking into the mirror. Adriana, I do not want an updo. Screw tradition, I liked my hair down. Are you sure? Evelyn smiled kindly as she walked into my room. Tying the robe around myself just a little tighter, I smiled before standing up. Adriana left us quickly to get the dress that hung in the deepest, darkest part of my closet. I prefer it down, I stated when Evelyn walked up to me, looking me up and down, then nodded. Reaching over, she pulled the pin out of my hair and took a simple step back.
Well, I must say you do look even more beautiful with it down.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Mel, please look at me,
she asked. And when I did, her palm came right across my face so quickly I never saw it coming. Shocked, I touched the side of my cheek, unsure if I was dreaming or not. What the fuck? She didn't even flinch. So I'm guessing this is the real Melody Giovanni, the girl who had the balls to step into my house, destroy my Jackson Pollock, and then shoot my fucking husband. Now I was starting to get angry. Standing straighter, I glared into her eyes. She got one slap, and that was it. The next time she raised her arm to me, I was going to break it. Before she could move, Adriana stood behind her with a gun to her skull. I grinned, wiping my cut lip thanks to her fucking ring. Evelyn, you should know better. Evelyn glared back, not even a little bit scared.
I come to you as a mother, coming to a daughter. Had it been any one of my sons who had put a bullet in Cedric, I would have taken him out of this world so quickly they wouldn't even know it was me.
I may not walk the same line as you do, nor do I wish to, but you should know that when it comes to my husband, I will not hesitate to kill anyone.
You cross the line.
Look who has a spine. I nodded over to Adriana and she took a step back, walked over to the bed and pulled out my dress. Noted. I said, not even the least bit threatened. I was too amused for that. Cedric is off limits. He wasn't my target anyway, your idiot son was. She glared at me once again before smirking.
It took me a long time to shift Cedric's view on women when I first met him. And again when he first learned about you.
What? Cedric found out about me at the same time Liam did. Didn't he? Evelyn beamed.
Like I said, I may not choose to walk the same path as you, but that doesn't mean I'm naive to the inner workings of this family. Everything Cedric has ever done, he has told me. The moment he knew what you were, he believed you were the best thing for my idiot son, as you so elegantly put it. He kept it a secret from Liam to let him deal with the information as he saw fit. I will commend you on your acting, and will expect it whenever you're in public with me. What you and Liam do is none of my concern. I just wanted to make sure you knew where you stand.
And where is that? I wanted to bust her smug face in. It reminded me of Liam, for fuck's sake. Evelyn pulled out a small box, setting it on the table.
Today you become my daughter. I will love you, stand by you, and when necessary put you in check. You may very well have the world in your hands, but you're still young, and that makes you just as stupid as my son is at times. I like you, Mel, so I hope the next time we speak in confidence, it's more civil.
I said nothing as she looked over to the bed and grabbed my new white shoes.
Christian Laboutin? She smiled before turning back to me. When we go to Paris in the spring, you, Caroline, Olivia, and I must go shopping. You have impeccable taste.
That would be Adriana, but I shall take the invitation all the same, I replied, and she nodded before walking to the door.
Well, I will leave you to it. The girls and I will come back later, if you don't mind.
It didn't seem like a question, but I nodded anyway. When she left, I couldn't help but smile as I finished the rest of my wine. I was starting to like Evelyn. My moment of peace didn't last long, however. Liam walked in, dressed in nothing but silk pajama bottoms, as if we weren't getting married in a few hours. What is it with you people and not knocking? I glared at his chest before pouring myself more wine. I would have to make sure it was close by if I was going to get through the rest of this day.
What did my mother want?
The better question is, what do you want? I asked him, stepping forward. He towered over me, and the fact that I was in my underwear beneath the robe was not lost on either of us.
Adriana, leave us.
She froze, looking at me. Rolling my eyes, I nodded, and she stepped outside. The moment she was gone, he kissed me, opening up my robe so he could cut my ass. Pushing him away, I slapped him across the face. Just because we fucked already doesn't mean we need to jump each other every time we make eye contact. I snapped at him, despite the fact that he did look rather sexy. I didn't want him getting used to the idea that my body was his to do anything he wished with when he was horny.
Maybe if we did, you would be kinder.
I just snorted and turned away from him to the items on the bed. Callahan, seriously, what is it you want? We have the wedding of the decade to go to soon, I replied, stepping into my shoes.
Those shoes make it hard not to have you right now,
he said, staring at my legs.
However, I will take pleasure in that later tonight. I just wanted to let you know that Vance and his son Amory will be attending.
What the fuck? You do know this would be the perfect moment for him to strike back at you for what you did to the plane. I crossed my arms over my chest and his eyes went to my breasts. Jeez, you would think we hadn't had sex all night. If it weren't for Cedric's call, we'd both still be on that boat. Stepping forward, he let his hands trace up and down my sides.
Well, love, as our new personal contract states, we now work together. My plans were either beef up security and enjoy the evening, or take a moment out of our night and poison the bastard right there and then.
I frowned at the thought. First, do not call me love. Second, when Vance falls, I want him to watch his empire burn around him and know that he was outsmarted, outgunned, and fucked over. Drowning in the soup seems...
too easy.
He agreed.
Then the first option, it is. I'm shocked, Mrs. Callahan. Did we just agree on something? Can it really be this easy?
He cupped my breasts and I grabbed his dick tight enough for it to cause him pain. If that's all, sweetheart, I would like to spend my last few moments as a Giovanni by myself.
Bitch.
You too.
I should have.
He stopped himself before stepping up behind me.
You look beautiful. See at the altar. Oh, and try not to flinch at the holy water.
I won't if you won't, I replied, and he kissed me where my shoulder met my neck. He said nothing else before leaving, allowing Adriana to come back in. I sat down again, and she finished making the waves in my hair as I stared into my own reflection. His kiss brought back all his touches of the night before. He was amazing, with stamina that was unheard of. My body cried out for his, and my mind both hated and loved that. I loved being dominated in such a beastly sexual way. How his hands, lips, and tongue all grabbed onto me. He was the best partner I'd ever had. But I didn't want him to know that. I didn't want his head to become any bigger than it already was. I also didn't want him to think that just because he was a great fuck, that he held the key to making me bend. He said he understood, but the boss in me told me that everyone lies. People lied about how much they drank, how much they were in debt, how many people they had killed. People were liars. I always thought I was good at reading liars. I could see it in their eyes, and if I did, I would kill them. However, with Liam, I was lost. It was like I was blind. He seemed honest, but he was just like me. A master liar. Adriana, what do you think of Liam Callahan? She froze, not sure what to say. Adriana, you can speak freely. I'm sure you've dug up more dirt since we've been here. She nodded. Liam Callahan is cocky, arrogant, controlling, manipulative, hot-headed, and attractive. What makes it worse is that he knows it. He has bloodlust. He stares at people with such rage. It's as though he wishes for them to mess up so that he can put a bullet in them. However, the moment he looks at you, it's gone. He is content, which is far from the man I saw 3 days ago. He seemed a rather lonely and isolated person. From what I've gathered, he was a very ill child, to the point he was crippled. Add that to his high intelligence, and it made him a prime candidate for bullies throughout his early life. He keeps it private and is embarrassed about it, seeing as he is a Callahan. He was admitted to a hospital for almost a year, and from there, gradually became better. He trusts very few people, which includes his family. He's searching for something. I stared at her through the mirror, eyebrows raised before grinning. This was Adriana's talent. She was a profiler. A very good profiler.
Everyone overlooked her, thinking she was just my personal maid.
However, I kept Adriana close because she was my second pair of eyes. She saw people as if they were an open book and could collect information because no one noticed her. She wasn't a fan of the blood or the violence, and I wouldn't force her to be. She proved her worth often in times like this. So, you think I should trust him?
Only you know, ma'am. You are a better judge of character than I. I think he wants you to care about him as much as his mother cares about his father. I don't think he's out to hurt you, yet. But he is still a Callahan, and the Irish are tricky.
He is going to be your husband, and you are not cringing at the thought of it, ma'am.
She was right, and I didn't know how to process that. It has been a long 3 days, I sighed, allowing my robe to fall as I stood. She nodded, grabbing my dress and holding it for me to step into.
You look beautiful,
Coraline said, beaming when she, Olivia, and Evelyn stepped in. Olivia looked sour, and I wouldn't have been surprised if she had figured out that I was the one who put a hole in her husband's arm.
It's very simple, Olivia said, fingering the tattoo on her wrist and looking my dress up and down.
If I weren't in all white and about to enter the house of God, I would have bashed her head in. Some people have to try harder than others. Others can make simple look elegant.
Agreed,
Evelyn said. Apparently she and I had come to a new agreement.
Did you give her the bracelet?
Caroline asked, even though Evelyn was already walking towards the desk to pick up the small box. She opened it, and my eyes widened ever so slightly. The vintage bracelet was made of all pearls, with a pendant in the center embedded with the letter C. It had to be from the early 1900s, at least.
Something old. All the Callahan women wear it during their wedding. It was the gift given to the wife of the first boss.
She smiled and placed it on my wrist. Thank you, I replied, and for the first time it hit me. I was getting married today.
We should get going. Cedric is waiting,
Olivia said, frowning and clearly pissed that the moment was happening between everyone but her, the bitch.
Cedric?
I asked. No one met my gaze.
Why is Cedric waiting? Where is my father?
Liam. So, what happened on the boat, lamb? Neil asked me for the billionth time as we waited in St. Peter's Cathedral. Mind your own fucking business, and if you call me lamb again, Neil, I will kill you, then bury you under this church. He smirked. You're excited. You didn't even describe how you'd kill me. That boat ride must have. Before he finished, I punched him in the fucking nose. For the love of motherfucking fuck! Last chance, brother, or you're going to piss me off, I replied, fixing my tie. Liam, calm down before you get blood on your suit. I'm sure Melody wouldn't mind, but the press... Declan sighed and threw a cold beer at Neil, who held it on his nose. Neil mumbled something under his breath and left. One day you two will have to work out your issues, Declan said to me. One day, maybe, but not fucking today. Saying nothing, I took a deep breath and walked out the door that led to the front of the cathedral. Looking outside, I noticed my mother had made sure to invite every last motherfucker with a net worth over 100 million. They all looked like tourists, excited to be on the guest list. My eyes met Vance's, and I could feel the blood in my veins begin to run hotter. He smirked, nodding at me as though he was fucking proud, the bastard. Next to him sat Amory. The golden locks wannabe was all but sucking on Natasha's neck.
It had seemed Deep Throat had switched ships.
She winked at me, and I wanted to puke. How is security? Declan snickered. They would have a better chance of getting the president than any one of us today. If this doesn't go off perfectly, shoot him for good measure. I wanted to be the one to take Vance's life, but if it needed to be done today, then I didn't care who did it. Just worry about Melody and pray she doesn't run away. No, she wouldn't run. Running wasn't in her nature. She would come if only to kill me. Before he could reply, music rang throughout the church and the door opened slowly, making my heart rate quicken. A vision in white stood beside my father with a bouquet of blood-red roses in her hands. She didn't bother with a veil to cover her face, and for that I was fucking glad. She was beautiful, deadly, stunning, and all mine. When she reached me, she stopped and kissed my father on the cheek before taking my hand.
However, when I looked in her eyes, I saw a twinge of sadness, and it pained me to my core. I squeezed her hand not to hurt her, but to tell her I saw it, and I didn't like it. I wanted her to be happy. I would let her pick anyone in the church to kill if it would make her smile.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the face of not only God, but the world, to join together Liam Alec Callahan and Melody Nietzsche Giovanni in holy matrimony.
Everything he said after that faded when she squeezed my hand back. She glanced up at me and the lioness in her eyes wasn't gone, but simply asleep. Something was wrong, and I hated that I couldn't figure it out.
Liam Alec Callahan, do you take Melody Nietzsche Giovanni to be your wife, to have and hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish? Do you promise to be faithful to her until death do you part?
I do. Always. I said without any hesitation, and she snickered at me, shaking her head as I placed the wedding band on her finger.
Melody Nietzsche Giovanni, do you take Liam Alec Callahan to be your husband, to have and to hold from this day forward for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish? Do you promise to be faithful to him until death do you part?
I do. Always.
She replied, and I felt overflowing relief and joy as she slid my ring into place.
May these rings be blessed, so he who gives it and she who wears it may abide in peace and continue in love until life's end,
he said as we stared at each other.
You may now seal the promises you have made to each other with a kiss.
In that moment, it didn't feel like our lips met. It was as though our souls did. Mel, my Mel, wiped the lipstick from my lips.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you the loving couple, Mr. and Mrs. Liam Callahan,
the priest said while Mel rolled her eyes at me. Apparently, Mrs. Liam Callahan didn't sit well with her, but too fucking bad. Everyone rose from his or her seat, clapping and cheering as we walked down the aisle hand in hand. We stopped at the top of the stairs to take photos for every damn magazine in the world when my father leaned in beside me.
I believed both of your emotions, so will the world,
he whispered with a smirk as we smiled.
Do you believe the emotions? Did it only take Russian blood and a boat ride?
I said nothing before stepping into the Rolls Royce to take a seat beside my wife. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Sighing, I leaned in and held the side of her face so she would have to look me in the eye. Wife, what is wrong? She stared before sighing as well.
Husband, my father refused to walk me down the aisle. He's gotten worse.
With that, she ripped her head from my hand and glared at the window. I felt like a bloody moron. I was so focused on her, I didn't even think about the person walking her down the aisle. Melody G. Callahan had the ability to make me forget anyone else existed when she was near. After we do our time at the reception, if you want, we could sneak out and go see him. She looks at me and her eyes narrowed.
Is this you trying to be sweet? Because I'm fine, and I would prefer to deal with asshole Callahan. You know, the son of a bitch I fought in my basement who thought his balls were bigger than they actually are.
And there was the lioness again. I'm putting in effort. Maybe you should fucking try it, Melody. I'm planning on going to war with the entire world.
I don't need one with the woman sleeping beside me.
Neither of us spoke after that. She knew just how to fucking kill the mood. Not looking at me, she took my hand into hers and squeezed it before letting me go.
I've never been nice. I'm not used to being anything other than a Giovanni. Affection and tenderness are not our strong suits, so I do not know how to reciprocate that. Bitch is standard mode for me, and I will work on it.
I don't mind you being a bitch to anyone else, as long as it's not me, I whispered, taking her hand and kissing it quickly. Part of me was starting to enjoy her ripping out other people's hearts. It was her thing, and she was good at it. She laughed, and I enjoyed the sound.
You do know that we have known each other only for 72 hours?
Holy fuck. I feel like I've known you for decades, if not longer.
Really?
she asked.
What's my favorite color?
Fuck.
Melody. When we got to the reception, which was being held outside Callahan Manor, there were more photographers, who Evelyn allowed to take photos from a distance. My face felt as though it would break from all the forced smiling. Call them off, or I'm calling snipers, I said to Liam. He leaned down to kiss my cheek.
I would gladly, but my mother and father want good press.
I glared at him, pinching his arm until he pulled me away from the cameras and headed towards the sea of guests. There were more damn photos and fake congratulations there until I saw Vance and Amory making their way through all the drinking and celebrating in the courtyard. Our guests danced underneath the stream of lights, blissfully unaware that two of the most deadly men in the country were about to collide with another deadly pair. Both Vance and Amory were as slick as eels with their dark eyes and oily skin. Amory stood at the same stunted height as his father, even though Vance was rather stout and Amory was sickly thin. They shared many of the same traits, blonde hair, though Vance's was graying, a strong chin and small ears. Remember, the Valero do not know that I took over for my father. I whispered, making sure that it seemed as though I was nothing more than an excited bride. Behind Liam, I saw Neil and Declan step closer to us. Monty and Fidel were near the entrance, focused on me. With a glance, Fidel let me know Antonio and three other snipers were in the windows of the manor, waiting. Oh, and you should know that Vance tried to arrange a marriage with Amory and me years ago. His eyes widened before narrowing into dangerous slits of green.
Mr. and Mrs. Callahan,
Vance said as he reached us.
Congratulations. I must say this was a huge surprise. Melody, what a fine young woman you have become, hasn't she, Amory?
I'm sorry, do I know you? I asked innocently, squeezing Liam's hand. He needed to step up and be calm. Amory looked at me with pure lust, making me want to cut his eyes out and doing nothing to help Liam calm down. He sneered, shaking Vance's hand, which had been extended for me.
This is Vance Valero, love, the owner of the company that keeps stealing many of our products.
Vance glared dangerously, as did Amory, before he smiled at me.
I do not wish to bore your beautiful little head with such youthful fiction. Your father and I were quite close. I was hoping to speak with him. However, he seems to be absent from this joyful occasion.
I tried not to gag. Liam and I wanted to get married. My father spoke of some new huge business venture in Austria that he needed to get a jump start on. I will let him know you spoke of him. Amory's eyes widened before he grinned and reached out for my hand, but Liam took it instead.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, but my wife and I must be making the rounds. Please enjoy yourselves.
Yes, please do, I added, smiling as though I was naive to the tension between them. Evelyn has worked so hard on this day. We are lucky to afford such a lifestyle. One day you could be sitting at the top of the world, and then the next it could be sitting on you, so my father says.
Your father has always been wise.
Amory winked at me before glaring at Liam.
But we are all human and make mistakes.
Fuck you, you no-good motherfucking asshole. When we walked away, Liam pulled us onto the dance floor under the purple and red draping.
What the fuck is going on in Austria? I know that's the last place your father is.
Calm the fuck down. Nothing is in Austria, but Amory doesn't know that. He is a leech, and I have no doubt he'll be on the next plane trying to steal from us. Plus, if we divided him in Vance, it would be easier to break them. His hand wandered down my spine.
You want them to think you don't know anything.
It's easier to kill a deer if they think you're a rabbit rather than a wolf. Amory was so busy staring at my breasts he couldn't even speak.
I noticed. I should just kill the motherfucker now and save myself the annoyance. He's lucky I didn't rip his eyes out, and believe me, I would have.
The darkness in his voice made me shiver in pleasure. I allowed him to spin me before bringing me in close. You need to clear your mind and take a deep breath. We were able to flip Ryan Ross. He reports directly to Monty now, then to me. It's how I knew Vance knew about the plane. He wants to do something bigger. He wants to relax before he attacks. But mostly, he wants to hurt you.
And how the fuck is Vance gonna hurt me?
Me, I answered. He will want to use Amory as a way to gain intel. Amory will probably flirt with me and try to gain my trust. It wouldn't be the first time he went after a married woman.
You aren't making my desire to kill the fool lessen.
He stopped to look me in the eyes.
In fact, I want to kill him more.
Then I get to kill Vance. He wasn't going to get to kill them both.
I kill Vance. You get the brothers and Amory.
Deal. But the only way for that to happen is to give Amory a little wiggle room and some rope to hang himself with.
So, more parties and balls. My mother will like it. However, I will cut off the motherfucker's fingers if they touch you. But until then, Valero has a shipment of prized cars coming 2 weeks from now to Italy. Vance loves his cars.
The bastard was getting excited just thinking about it. You hid his drugs, and now you want to take his toys? Husband, that is quite cruel. He raised an eyebrow at me.
Do you have any other ideas?
No, I grinned. But after we steal them, we should set them on fire.
And I'm cruel.
He kissed my cheek and I froze for a moment, realizing we had once again just worked together with ease. It was like our minds fed off each other. We will talk about this later. Apparently it's time to cut the cake. I told him, noticing Evelyn waving. I had almost forgotten this was our wedding, with the thoughts of theft and blood in the air.
Yes, later.
He replied, looking at me with lust once again.
Liam. It felt like hours after we cut the cake when we were able to sneak off. Orlando was in one of the rooms in the eastern part of the manor. The moment we arrived, Mel went to sit beside him. He was breathing only through tubes and machines, which all looked painful.
Ciao, mi bambino dolce.
Mel kissed his hands.
Ciao, mi dolce padre. Sei bellissima, Melody. Mi dispiace che non ero abbastanza forte per voi.
Tu sei... esserai sempre abbastanza forte?
I felt bad for intruding on their moment. I wasn't sure what they were saying, but it seemed too personal for me to just be standing there. However, I couldn't bring myself to leave Mel's side. Orlando looked up at me, breathing heavily, waiting for me to take his hand. When I did, he squeezed it.
Si buona con lei, Liam,
he said to me before turning to Mel.
Si buono con lui, Mel.
Lo farò,
she said, and I repeated it, even though I didn't know what it was she said. It just felt right. When I did, he kissed both our hands before giving them back to each other. Mel closed her eyes, taking a deep breath, and stood up. I watched as she pulled the needle from the nightstand, and then I realized what she was about to do. Reaching out, I grabbed her hand. For the first time, I saw the true depths of her strength and how much she hated it. She would put her father to sleep to give him peace, and it would kill her slowly every day or forever. Yet she would still do it.
I have to do this,
she whispered to me as I tried to pull the needle from her. Shaking my head, I snatched it from her hand. You will hate yourself, and I would rather you hate me. In her eyes, there was a fight, because she was Mel, and my Mel would always fight me. But I would win this battle. Stepping in front of her, I pulled the cap off with my teeth before going for his arm. Mel wrapped her hands around my waist and placed her head on my back, not watching. Good. I didn't want her to see this. I did it as quickly as possible and turned off the machines, before turning and holding her.
Melody. I just listened in Liam's arms. Not crying or depressed, but somewhat relieved that someone else had fulfilled my father's wish. Something I had dreaded since he'd first asked. We stood there, holding each other for God knows how long before Liam spoke.
Wife, Mel, my Melody, let's go to bed,
he whispered, and I nodded. He lifted me up, bridal style, and a part of me wanted to fight him. But not now. Not tonight. Not our wedding night. Not my father's last night. I knew I would fight him on a million things soon. But not tonight.
XII. Cruel with guilt and daring with despair, the midnight murderer bursts the faithless bar, invades the sacred hour of silent rest,
and leaves unseen, a dagger in your breast. Samuel Johnson.
Liam.
Is that all, sir?
Dylan questioned softly, placing the tray of food and the foils I requested on the top of my desk. He knew just as well as anyone that if he woke my wife, I would snap his neck. Tell Patrick I want to know of Amory's whereabouts in the next few hours. The moment the door closed, I turned to Mel, only to find her sitting up and staring back at me. Her face was void and her eyes clear as day. It was almost haunting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you, I said, leaving distance between us as I tried to read her mood. She frowned, noticing that she was still in her dress, before standing up and turning around.
Help me out of it.
Without saying a word, I unhooked the tiny part at the top and unzipped it slowly, trying my best not to get excited. But it didn't work. Her fucking father just died. Calm down. Seeing her in nothing but white lace almost killed me. Fuck it all to hell. Let me get you. She stopped me with her lips and I gave in, gladly pulling her body to mine and gripping her ass. I loved her ass. I loved how it felt like it was made for my hands only. When her tiny hands pulled away my tie and ripped at my shirt, I had to push her away. Mel, we can wait. I can wait, I gasped, breathing deeply to control my raging cock.
Well, this isn't about you. This is about me, and I can't wait. I don't want to think. I just want you inside me, now.
Fuck. This time when she kissed me, I picked her up and laid her back down on the bed,
kissing a path from her lips to her neck.
She moaned, pushing up against me with her hands in my hair while I worked my way down to her breast. I will buy you new ones, I told her as I ripped the bra from her, allowing her breasts to bounce in freedom, and pulled her underwear off. She glared at me, but only for a moment before closing her eyes as I pinched her nipples.
Harder,
she asked, so I did, pulling on them before taking them into my mouth. She was already rocking against me. I knew she wanted me inside her, but I wouldn't give in just yet. My hands travelled down to cup her, and she arched up in pleasure.
Just fuck me already, Liam,
she moaned, grinding herself into my hands. No, I replied, placing three fingers in her. I watched, enjoying how she looked as she met her pleasure with my hands. I moved my fingers deeper and faster into her wet core. Each time she let out small moans of pleasure while one of her hands went to my chest and the other pinched her breast. Watching her, this hungry for my cock made my desire for her grow even more. I made sure to take mental pictures of this.
Liam, your cock.
No, I snickered, fucking her with my fingers even more until she was so close that I pulled out of her. She stared at me, furious and wide-eyed. She looked enraged, and all I could do was lick my fingers, which dripped of her juices. She watched me for a moment before tackling me. I stared up at her in amusement, holding on to her thighs as she ripped my pants to get at my dick. She didn't have to wait, because the moment she pulled my pants from me, it sprang up before us. This was why I chose to go without boxers. She glared at me, grabbing onto me, and I bucked up at her, unable to control myself in her hands.
You want this just as bad as I do,
she said, and I was almost tempted to tell her, no fucking duh. However, when she eased her way onto me, I couldn't even think straight. My hips began to move, pushing my cock entirely in her. She was moving too slowly, watching me struggle to fight back the urge to ram my way in her until she couldn't walk.
How quickly the tables turn,
she whispered. I gasped when she leaned down to kiss my chest. Grabbing onto her waist and hair, I held her on top of me before sitting up. I was done playing around. I just wanted to fuck her so deep that she wouldn't be able to see straight. And how quickly they changed back. Gripping her waist, I forced her to move along with me, fucking her as we sat in the middle of my bed. She looked me in the eyes as I looked into hers. Our lips were only inches apart, breathing each other in as she rode me. Reaching up, I brushed the side of her face and pulled her hair, along with her head, back, so I could kiss her neck. Then I pushed her down onto the bed and rammed myself harder. She moaned and I couldn't help but smile.
Fucking Jesus, Liam!
Leaning down, I kissed the side of her face before whispering, not even he can save you from this. Holding onto her wrist with one hand and gripping her thigh with the other, I fucked her pussy hard, ramming further and further inside her as she trembled with pleasure. "Fuck, Mel!" I yelled as I felt her walls tighten around me, but even then I didn't stop. I wanted to fuck her pretty little brain out, so I let go of her hands and grabbed onto her hips. I fucked her like she was a bitch in heat. I went quickly. I went deeply. I went in and out so many times I couldn't even see straight, and she was screaming my name while clawing at my back. She had come twice already, and I would keep making her come until she was filled with only me. Slowing my thrusts down only slightly, my head went back as I released Enner just as she came for the third time. Drained, I forced myself to hover over her, not wanting to crush her. However, she surprised me and pulled me on top of her. So I just laid there on her breast, leaving small kisses on her neck.
"Thank you."
"You never have to thank me for sex. In fact, she could have it any time she fucking wanted."
"Not only for the sex, Liam."
Stopping my kisses, I sat up to stare in her eyes, but she refused to look at me. "My dear wife, you do not have to thank me for that either." I kissed her cheek before finally pulling out of her. I was going to bring up condoms later, and hopefully she didn't want them either. We didn't speak for a moment as I lay next to her. Instead, the smell of sex and our breathing was the only thing to fill the room.
"What do you want from me, Liam?"
I wasn't sure how to say it without sounding like a pansy, but I knew if I lied, she would know, and the last thing our relationship could handle was a lie, whether it was big or small. "I want you to love me," I said softly. "But if not, then I want it to be the closest thing to you loving me. I want your loyalty. I want your honesty. I want you by my side and no one else's. I want your body. I want your mind. I want to know your hopes and dreams so I can one day make them a reality." I paused, knowing the sicker inner darkness part of me was about to speak. But that was who I was, and I wanted her to know it. I hadn't even realized I wanted it until now. "I want you to be willing to kill for me. I want you to be the same killer I am and not flinch away from the blood. I want you to revel in the blood alongside me. I want you to help me take down every fucker who stands in the way of a Callahan." She was silent, and so was I as we lay there.
"The second part of that, I can do with ease,"
she finally replied.
"The first, the love. I haven't loved anything in a long time. I cared for Orlando deeply, but we were never close. I spent most of my life training. He was working. I wouldn't know where to start with love."
It wasn't a no. It was just a how, and I would have to show her. I took her hand, kissing it before sitting up. "We will start by getting to know one another," I replied, loving how she looked in my bed. Our bed.
"Know each other?"
"Like, what the fuck is your favourite colour, and other not important but important things like that."
"It's teal. I do not know why, but it's teal."
Smiling, I got up, naked as the day I was born, and grabbed the plate of food, the wine and the files, and placed them before us on the bed. She picked up the wine and smirked.
"You know my favourite wine."
"I do," I replied, uncorking it and not telling her how I knew. She didn't need a cup and drank straight from the bottle before handing it to me. I drank as well, laughing in my mind about how far I'd come. Had it been any other female, I would have seen them as less as a woman. But with Mel, it only made her sexier to me. Everything she did made her sexier.
"What's your favourite colour?"
she asked, taking a bite of sandwich. "I don't have one." She shook her head at me. "Favourite movie?" I asked her.
"Shawshank Redemption,"
she said. "Seriously?"
"Yes, seriously. What's yours, then?"
she asked. "Goodfellas," I said, winking and causing her to roll her pretty brown eyes at me.
"Of course."
"I'm also a huge superhero nerd." She looked me over before nodding.
"I can see that."
"Shut up," I said, as she laughed. It wasn't forced or harsh, but soft like bells chiming in the wind.
She brought her legs in, and I noticed she was still wearing her white heels, which meant a few things. One, I fucked her in her heels, and that was fucking hot. Two, she looked fucking sexy sitting on my bed naked with only heels on. And third, she almost always wore white shoes. I would make a note of that whenever I bought her something. But still, why do you wear white heels all the time? Is it an Italian fashion statement or something? She froze for a moment before her shoulders dropped and her eyes glazed over.
Orlando and my mother, Avelia, fought often when I was a child. I was young, but even I knew something was wrong. On the outside, they put on a show of this happy, well-off couple, but really my mom was living in a different wing of the house. She even spent most of her time in Italy. Sometimes, after her fights with my father, I wouldn't see her for weeks. When they were young and fell for each other hard, my father didn't want to lose her, so he only told her about what he did for a living after they were married.
She frowned, drinking from the bottle again. Shit. There was no way a relationship in our lives could work if we didn't make it clear who we were from the get-go.
Yep.
She shook her head.
From what I gathered, my mom was a hippie. She hated violence, and like all hippies, she protested. My grandparents wouldn't let her get a divorce, and so she wore white gloves. Basically, she was telling Orlando every time he saw her that her hands were clean. She told him if he could go a week without killing, she would take them off and he could touch her. But it never happened. My father turned to whores, pretending they were her, and she fell in love with her bodyguard. However, she was pregnant with me, and my father told me that she miscarried once while they were dating. So she didn't want to risk anything the second time around. They tried to stick it out for my sake, but Orlando finally gave up trying to win her over, and they agreed to let me spend the holidays with him. It was like that until the plane crash.
And so, you wear the white shoes?
Because my hands aren't clean.
She half smiled.
When I see them, I think of her, and I don't feel like I never had a mother. I just see a woman with white gloves.
That's
really weird. I know. It's something no one knows about me but Orlando. But you asked.
I cupped the side of her face. It is odd, but it makes sense to me. I didn't realize it was so deep. I wouldn't have asked.
No, you would have most likely looked into it behind my back.
She shook her head.
I'd rather get all the skeletons out now while we're both civil and sexually satisfied.
I smirked at that. I'm not sexually satisfied yet. She rolled her eyes at me.
Relax, Tiger. Tell me about you.
Grabbing the wine, I took a deep breath before knocking back a drink. She went deep into her past and shared something no one alive knew, with the exception now being me. She trusted me. I would have to trust her. I just didn't know how to start.
You don't have to.
I want to, Mel, I said softly. I want to, and I will. I haven't traveled this deep in me for a long time.
Is it about your childhood?
She asked, and I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was.
I don't know anything other than you were sick once and tormented for it.
I started slowly. I was born a twin. Evelyn was on her way to a fundraiser with my brother when one of Vance's people drove them off the road and into a tree. The driver was able to get Neil out, but Evelyn went into labour and couldn't move. When the paramedics came and got her, she was already pushing my sister out. But she never cried or even took a breath. And when they got to the hospital, I was stuck. They had to pull, and because of that, my shoulder was broken. My heart and lungs weren't fully developed yet, and I barely even cried. It was more like I was gasping for air. They didn't think I was going to make it, but I did. However, my growth, weight, and speech were stunted, and on top of it, I was blessed with club feet. For some odd reason, even though I didn't remember it, I always felt a pain in my shoulder when I thought about it. Evelyn went into a deep depression, and as much as she loved me, she couldn't look at me without seeing her dead baby girl in her hands. So she stayed away. In all honesty, my earliest memory of her isn't until I was maybe 12. It was my father who spent most of his time with me at the hospital. Over the years, he read articles from the paper and would tell me how important my future was, where the doctors did tests and I went through treatment. I remember him losing his shit at doctors once. Or twice. All that reading and teaching he did stuck with me, though. By the time I could finally leave the hospital and go to school, I was well beyond any 12-year-old. One moment I was at St. John's Hospital, the next I was at Northside College Preparatory High School with Neil, who had a reputation as a badass. I laughed at the memory. Students almost shit themselves when Neil was pissed at them. He was captain of the football team, a wrestler, and played hockey and every other sport that let him destroy guys for fun, so naturally I looked up to him. But in school, he stayed away from me. I, shaky legs and all, tried out for the football team only to have balls thrown at my back. The coach took pity on me and made me the water boy. One day, some of Neil's friends pushed me down a flight of stairs before putting me in a locker with their dirty clothes. Neil didn't know I was there. He just walked in when his friends were pissing on my clothes and told them to chill out. That I was my father's favourite and he would have to deal with my mental shit later. I didn't say anything because I couldn't. I hadn't taken my medication that morning and ended up having a seizure in the fucking locker. I almost wanted to laugh because it was so fucked up. I was shaking so badly that the locker shook with me in it and the coach found me. I ended up in the hospital with my mom crying and praying over me. I had been in a coma for a week. And she promised God she would be a better mother if he just made me healthy. They ran tests, gave me drugs. Declan, who had spent most of his time to himself after his parents died, came to me and told me they burned down the house of the fucker who put me in the locker. Neil and I don't take trips down memory lane. I think I got better in spite of him. I had almost forgotten she was sitting across from me when she handed me the bottle of wine again. It wasn't better than brandy, but it was good enough.
Okay, you win most depressing childhood. You should have cut his dick off and shoved it down his throat.
I coughed as I took a drink before smiling at her. I was 12. She shrugged.
I don't give a fuck. Neil's dick and a fucker's dick or anyone else who was there would have to live with it. The assholes.
She didn't know it, but for someone who didn't know how to love, she was sure doing a good job. Noted. She was the best thing in my life. And it only took 3 fucking days. She made me excited for the future.
Now I don't feel bad for shooting Neil.
She replied, falling back on the bed and I allowed my eyes to wander up her legs, then her thighs and her stomach before reaching her breasts. Did you ever feel bad? I asked her, pushing the tray of wine and food off the bed and onto the floor. It shattered and I knew it would make a huge mess, but I didn't give a fuck. I just wanted my wife. She watched me as I rose above her.
What were the files for?
I'd forgotten all about them. Grabbing her back, I pulled her up against me. First pleasure, then work.
I think it's the other way around,
she replied, wrapping her legs around my waist. We make our own rules from now on, Mrs. Callahan. I kissed her forehead, cupping her ass and thrusting into her tight pussy. Her lips went straight to my neck. Rule number one. After, or during our meetings and chats, we make sure to fuck each other's brains out. I slammed into her. Agreed. She gripped onto my shoulders and moaned.
Agreed,
she said before pushing me back and holding me there.
Rule 2. We never use a fucking condom. Agreed?
She hissed at me, and I almost came. She was fucking perfect. Fuck yes. I flipped her over and pulled out of her, grabbing the lube on the bedside table, and squeezed a generous amount before burying myself in her tight ass. Rule 3, I moaned loudly, unable to think when she raised onto her knees, pushing her ass against me, with her hands wrapped around my neck.
Rule 3, we trust no one but each other,
she said to me, and I could no longer control my need. Grabbing onto her ass as I did her waist early in the evening, I slammed myself into her. Pushing her back down, I pulled on her hair as though it were reins. Agreed.
Fuck, Liam!
She moaned as she came, and when she did, I pulled out of her, allowing my seed to slip onto her back. It was sick how much I enjoyed it. She was mine. She was all fucking mine. Rising, she turned to me and slapped me in the face. Something I was starting to fucking enjoy, even as it burned.
It was one of the many things that made Mel different.
Now I have to take a shower.
She hissed at me as she stood up, and I looked to her proud and in lust. She had found the monster inside me and fed it. Sadly, I didn't think I would ever have enough of her. She headed over to my bathroom, but stopped to look back at me.
Are you tired already, Mr. Callahan? I still have more rules.
She's fucking perfect. I almost groaned. We were going to break each other, and it only made me more excited. Jumping up, my cock standing alert and searing for her, I let her lead me into the waiting shower. She's fucking perfect. Even as she pushed me down onto my knees and forced my face into her pussy, I would happily drink her in.
Melody. I said nothing, choosing one of his clean shirts to wear as he spoke with a dark-haired man at the door. Taking a seat on his bed, I watched him carefully as two maids ran in quickly to clean up the mess we had made with the wine and the food. Neither of them dared to look up. Instead, they worked as quickly as possible. I wasn't sure what was going on between Liam and me, but the untrusting part of my mind was telling me to put on the damn brakes. We had only known each other for 4 days, seeing as how it was very early in the day. Neither of us was tired, which was odd, because we had done nothing but have mind-blowing sex for hours. The only time we had spoken was when we had confessed some of our darkest secrets. He put me on edge because he made me trust him. He told me the truth, and then stepped up to do the one thing I knew I did not have the strength to do. Orlando had wanted to make sure he died after my wedding because he didn't want me to feel alone. I tried to tell him I wasn't lonely, but he always told me the path of a boss was a dark and lonely one. I never had friends. I never socialized with anyone other than my men and the servants at our home. I always kept myself busy learning languages, studying and training. I never thought too much about it. Not until now. Not until Orlando, the only family I had ever had, had died. It hit me like a tsunami. I did not have anyone. And then, there was Liam. For the first time I understood why Orlando had pushed me so hard into accepting him. Because even though I didn't trust Liam yet, the promise of future trust was there. He was now the only family I had. A fact that confused me. I felt like I could trust him. I wanted to trust him. I wanted to be what he needed, because now I needed somebody. I never realized how much Orlando filled that role for me. Over the last 4 years since I had become boss, he was the only person I vented to. The only person I used as a whiteboard for all my plans, telling him each and every step just because I needed to get it out of my head. I told him when I was stressed, when I just wanted to murder someone, and when I did murder someone. Orlando was my true right hand. And now Liam was taking his place. Not in a creepy Liam is my daddy type of way, but more like Liam was now the only person I could freely speak with. Everyone else was under me. Everyone else I didn't respect. Orlando had been it. Now Liam was.
You were right.
Liam replied, his voice serious as he took a seat in front of me. The maids were gone. I hated that he was in his pajama bottoms. I missed staring at his ass. I know. I smirked. But about what? Rolling his eyes at me, he handed me the file before heading to his desk. He grabbed his brandy and poured us both a cup. Looking over the flight transcript, I grinned. Amory is on his way to Austria, I read aloud, taking the glass he offered.
Yes, and I was thinking about using it as a cover.
He frowned, drinking slowly. I waited for him to go on, but he didn't. Well, I asked, annoyed that I had to waste words. He eyed me carefully, as though I were a child before he spoke, and it pissed me off.
Orlando didn't want the world knowing he was sick, and I was thinking of causing a fake accident and letting rumors spread that it was Amory.
He stopped, and in my mind I thought it was perfect, but before I could say anything he misread my facial expression.
I don't mean to use your father's death as a chess piece, nor do I want to...
Liam, shut the hell up. I'm not a child whose feelings will get hurt. Yes, I care for Orlando, but he is dead. I knew it was coming for years. It sucks, but don't treat me as if I'm glass. My father would have loved to have been used to screw the Valero. So let's do what we do best. A game of chess. I was not going to be seen as emotional because my daddy was dead. Nor would I let Liam forget who I was, even though our relationship was changing.
I was still a fucking boss, and I still had work to do. He raised an eyebrow at me before leaning back and smirking.
Glass, you are not wife. Very well. We will allow Amory to think he killed Orlando. The bastard'll be so full of himself that he'll take bigger risks